So, in last few days, we have done the first three verses of the Chatushloki. Today we'll do the fourth one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirai. Nashtu Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naitiki. Nashtu Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. If we practice, if we serve Srimad Bhagavatam, Nittam. Nittam means all the time, constantly. Then what will happen? Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. All the impurities, abhadras in the heart become almost purified. Heart becomes almost purified or cleansed. All the impurities are destroyed. And then what happens? Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, due to the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is glorified with choice verses. Choice, most choice prayers. Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Our devotion becomes fixed up. So by regularly serving Srimad Bhagavatam, we become fixed up in devotional service. So you want to be fixed up in devotional service? So serve Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. Okay, so today's verse is the fourth one, that is 2936. Etavat.
Etavat.
Up to this.
Up to this.
Etavat means up to this. Etavad eva, certainly. Eva means certainly. Yigyasam, this is easy one. Yigyasam means what? Is to be inquired. Yigyasa means to question. And yigyasam means to be inquired. Tattva. Tattva means absolute truth. The absolute truth. Jigyasuna. Jigyasu. Who is a jigyasu? The one who inquires by the student. That means jigyasuna means by the student. Student of this absolute knowledge. Tatta jigyasuna. Tatta jigyasuna atmanaha, of the self. So those who want to inquire about the self, then anvaya means directly, vyatirekabham means indirectly, jat, whatever, sat, it may be sarvatra in all space and time. Sarvatra means everywhere. All space, in all space and time. Sarvada, in all circumstances. So everyone got the word for word meanings? Etavad eva jigyasyam tatta jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekabhyam jatsat sarvatra sarvada. And the translation is, a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this. So up to this means, up to this point that Krishna, that Narayan is describing to Brahma. Etavadeva jigyasam tatta jigyasunatmanaha. Etavad means up to this. So a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So all the spiritual questions, all the inquiry about the Supreme Personality of Godhead go up to where? Up to what? Brahma. Up to what Narayan is describing. So Srimad Bhagavatam, what it actually means? This Chatushloki is Srimad Bhagavatam, the seed of Srimad Bhagavatam, the root of Srimad Bhagavatam from which Bhagavatam expanded. So all inquiries about spiritual subject matter must come up to this point. That is, Bhagavatam is the end. Sarvatra, sarvada, everywhere, at all time, annaya, vyatireka, bham, directly or indirectly. All the inquiries must come to this point. End. This is the end. Right? Bhagavatam is the ultimate information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pastimes. Okay, so everybody understood the meaning of the verse? The fourth verse? Okay, text 36. Etavad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasuna atmanaha anvaya vyatirekabham yatsat sarvatra sarvada. Etavadeva jigyasyam.
Etavadeva jigyasyam. Etavadeva jigyasyam. Etavadeva jigyasyam.
Tatya jigyasunatmanah.
Tatya jigyasunatmanah. Tatya jigyasunatmanah. Tatya jigyasunatmanah.
Anvaya vyatirekabhyam.
Anvaya vyatirekabhyam.
Sat sarvatra sarvada.
Yatsat sarvatra sarvada. Yatsat sarvatra sarvada.
Okay, now. Okay, one of you can recite. Ganga Narayan, you recite.
Etavad eva jigyasam.
Etavad eva jigyasam. Etavad eva jigyasam.
Yatsat sarvatra sarvada. Yatsat sarvatra sarvada.
Okay. So now should we turn the board around? So how many of you now remember the first word of the first line? Okay. Okay, come on. Okay, Parshuram.
Etavadeva jigyasam.
Next line, first word. Okay.
Tatya jigyasana atmana.
The third one. Oh, aapka line haath pehle uth gaya
hai.
Fourth line. Okay, Mitrabinda. Anirudha, I think you memorized the whole verse now. So where were you? Why did you come so late? You must have been somewhere. Okay. So, repetition and memorizing the first word of the first, each line, does it help?
Yes.
Does it help, Radha Vallabh? Doesn't help? Kevin, does it help? Okay. So, do you remember the first word of the first line?
Yes.
Okay. Let's hear it. Second line. Third line. Fourth line. Yeah. Now, one thing I actually forgot to mention. Like, when you are reciting the first line, try to remember what the second line is going to be. The first word of the second line is going to be. When you are reciting the second line, try to remember what will be the first word of the third line going to be. And when you are reciting the third line, you consider what would be the first word of the fourth line. Then what will happen? It will flow. And what ultimately, when you memorize, then what happens? It automatically comes. So is it interesting to memorize the verses? Vivashan, you memorized? Yes? Okay. Can you recite the whole verse now? Okay, let's see. Let's hear. Just once. Okay. So, very good. But did you make some mistake? What was the mistake? It has been corrected by others. What was the mistake? For tattva, you said tat. tatva jigya sunat manaha. Okay, very good. So everyone memorized it? Okay, I'm seeing so many hands are shaking, so that means you all have memorized it. Now, the next step is? What is the fourth step? Write it down in a piece of paper and try to remember it from time to time. And then, are you going to sing it?
Give all tunes.
Yeah, sing it. Okay. So, you may be feeling ashamed to sing now, but at home or in the temple room, you can murmur the tune. Okay, so very good. Etavat.
Etavat.
Up to this.
Up to this.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yigyasyam.
Yigyasyam.
Is to be inquired.
Is to be inquired.
Tatva.
Tatva.
The absolute truth.
The absolute truth.
Yigyasuna.
Yigyasuna.
By the student.
By the student.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Of the self.
Of the self.
Anvaya.
Anvaya.
Okay, here Atmanaha has been written. What's the meaning of the word Atmanaha? Of the self. Now this self has been written with a capital S. What does it mean?
About the supreme personality.
It's about the supreme personality of God. It's not self, me, ourselves. Not small S. If it is small s, then self means jivas, we. But when it is capital S, then it is Krishna. Anvaya.
Anvaya.
Directly.
Vyatirekabhyam.
Indirectly.
Yat.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Syat.
It may be.
Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
In all space and time.
In all space and time.
Sarvada.
Sarvada.
In all circumstances. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, the meaning has been now reiterated, has been reconfirmed, because we did it once before. Now, everyone got the meaning of this verse. Etavadeva jigyasyam tattva jigyasunatmanah. Tattva jigyas. This is up to the point. This is up to the point that one. Who is that one? Who inquires? Jigyasuna, student. Of what? Of the self. Of the self here means the student of the self. One who inquires, the student who is inquiring about the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Most certainly, annaya jigga sunat manaha, annaya vyatirekabhyam. Annaya vyatirekabhyam means directly or indirectly, jatsat sarvatra sarvada. At all space and time, under all circumstances. Indirectly, under all, in all circumstances. So what should be our question? What is Srimad Bhagavatam? What is these four shlokas indicating? That this is the ultimate point. What is the ultimate point? In the Vedas, who is to be known?
Krishna.
And who is Krishna? Krishna is the one, aham eva sam eva agre nanna jatsa asat param, who was there even before the creation of this universe, and who is still there in the creation, and who will continue to exist even after annihilation. And then, the second verse, what is the second verse? Rite arthang jat pratyeta, na pratyeta chatmani, tadvidyad atmano mayam jathavashu jathato. Rite artham, without him, without the connection of this personality, who is this personality? Krishna. Nothing actually exists. What appears to be exist is Maya. And what is Maya? Maya is like reflection in darkness. Jatha bhasa, jatha tama. And what is the third verse? Jatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu cha vachishvanu pratishthani pratishthanna pratishthani tat sarvatra tatha teshu na teshva. What is the third verse? What is this? Mahanti bhutani, the elements of the universe. Just as the elements of the universe are in everything and at the same time they are also outside of it, similarly Krishna is, although he is in everything, but he is not in them. Pravishthani, apravishthani. Even though he enters into everything, but he is not in them. And then, etavadeva jigyasam. To know that personality is the ultimate approach to the Supreme Absolute Truth. Under all circumstances, in all space and time, directly or indirectly. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, to unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways. By karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga, etc. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and of the problems of life in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. Everyone, every intelligent being, question. Prabhupada used to say that more intelligent one is, the more is his questions. Sometimes we find that children, they're always asking questions. Sometimes we get annoyed by that. Why do you have to ask so many questions? But Prabhupada used to also point out that's a sign of intelligence. When a child asks questions, don't discourage him. Try to fulfill his questions. So, just like Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj was preparing for Indra Puja, Krishna had questions. And Nanda Maharaj at first was little concerned. Oh, now he is starting. And then there will be one after another question. And I'm so busy, I don't have the time. So Nanda Maharaj wanted to discourage Krishna, or didn't want to even reply. When Krishna asked, Father, what are you doing? What is all this arrangement going on? So Nanda Maharaj, because he was so busy, he didn't want to reply. But then Krishna continued, why aren't you replying? If you don't reply, if you don't answer my questions, then I'll remain ignorant. And if I remain in ignorance, then people will call me a fool. That obviously is not going to be very creditworthy for you. So he said, so in this way Krishna just kept on pursuing his father. Then Nanda Maharaj told him that we are arranging for Indra Puja. So Krishna then asked, why are you worshipping Indra? So Nanda Maharaj thought, now it started. So, and Nanda Maharaj quickly gave a reply, because Indra gives rain. Okay, Indra gives rains, but why do we have to worship Indra? Because we are farmers, we are Vaishyas, and we tend cows and we grow grains. Therefore we need, for green grass and for growing grains, we need rain. Is it only because of Indra, worshipping Indra, that you get rains? So then again Krishna asked. So in this way, Krishna just kept to Krishna. When he was a little child, he was always asking questions like this. And by these questions, Krishna was actually teaching them the lesson. Normal child, human child, asks questions in order to know. But Krishna was asking questions in order to teach. That is the difference between our questions and Krishna's questions. Now ultimately what Krishna did? He stopped Indra Puja and persuaded them to worship Govardhan. And as a result of that, a big episode took place. Indra got angry, he said he wanted to destroy all the residents of Vrindavan. But ultimately what happened? Indra realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his master. So, the question, to question is a sign of intelligence. Sometimes, Prabhupada used to say, that if there is no question after Bhagavatam class, that means everybody understood everything, or they didn't understand anything. We don't question when we understood everything, and we don't question also when we didn't understand anything. So the sign of intelligence, sign of developed consciousness, is this tendency to know. Question means tendency to know. We want to know about something, that's why we question. So in the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective for the inquisitive, is to unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. It is through Bhakti Yoga that we actually unfold the mystery of the spiritual reality. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways. Everyone is searching after self-realization in some way or other. All these practices, especially, not all the time, but sometimes, an intelligent person questions. An intelligent person questions at times, like when he is Especially when we see that someone is dead, a near one is dead, the body is taken to the crematorium to be burned. Then what do you think? What actually happened? Don't you question? And don't we realize the futility of our life? The person who was alive for so many years, now he is dead, and now his body is going to be burnt. So what is the meaning of the life? What is the purpose of our existence? How many of you have been to a crematorium? How many of you saw a dead body being burnt? And how did you feel at that time? Rakesh? How did you feel at that
time?
A vacuum, yeah. Like futility. Why live?
And all around Maharaj, people are like samsan, where are you thinking?
Right.
Everyone is so philosophical and...
At that time.
Yeah.
When you go to the smasan, then we are very philosophical. But 5 minutes after that, when you come back home, take our bath, then the whole scenario changes, whole mentality changes. But it's good that at least at that point we question. Also, at night, how many of you looked up at the sky at night? And how did you feel when you saw the so many stars and planets? And if you consider that each of these stars are so big, each star is actually much bigger than this Earth planet. That's why their light is coming from such a distance. Although they are thousands of miles away, hundreds of thousands of millions of miles away. But their light is visible. If you keep a light, but if you go little distance, do you see the light? There may be a very powerful searchlight, but when you go to some distance, do you see the light? No, you don't see the light. Now for the light, I mean, we can't see the light even if we go 1 or 2 kilometers away, a big searchlight. Now can you imagine how big is this light, the stars that are emanating, that you can see it even though you are millions of miles away. So how big must be the stars? And consider there are so many stars in the sky. So these are all huge planets. And at that time, don't you feel that in this vast universe, how small you are? Even though we don't consider, even though we may not consider whether there are living entities on those stars and planets, but when you consider there are so many stars and planets, and I am in this Earth planet, on this Earth planet, and in this Earth planet I am such an insignificant person. Even in relation to the Earth planet I am so insignificant. So what to speak of in relation to the universe? And then we can question further, who created all this? What will be the answer? How great is that person who created all this? And then when you go further and get to know that all this, this we are just experiencing, just one universe. Just one universe. And there are so many universes. And how the universes are created? Just by the breathing of Mahavishnu. And what is the duration of Mahavishnu's, duration of the universes? Material creation? Nishashita. Just one breath. And can you imagine how big Mahavishnu is? So the moment in we consider the greatness of the Lord, we begin to feel how insignificant we are. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with the inquiry about life, and the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. The Vedanta Sutra begins with questions. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. So there are questions. Especially the Upanishads also, there are questions. Prashna Upanishad, Katho Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka, questions and answers. But Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the perfect answer to all questions. Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the personality of Godhead. And here is the answer by the Lord, finished in 4 nutshell verses. From Ahameva to this verse, Etavadeva. Ahameva to Etavadeva. The first verse he begins with Ahameva, Ahamevasamevagre, and here Etavad, last verse is Etavadevityasam. This is the end of all self-realization processes. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness. And as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses. The whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification. Desires based principally on the sex desire, and the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entities is sense gratification. But here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know, and everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master, expert in the science of Bhakti Yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all of the various students of self-realization. The ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. So, it's been pointed, Prabhupada is pointing out that we may have all these questions, but we should not try to get the answers to those questions by laborious endeavor and searching. We should not try to get the answers ourselves if we are intelligent. If we are intelligent, what should we do? We should approach a person who has the answer. And then we hear from him and we get the knowledge. Like when you go to a new place, what do you do? Do you search that address yourself? If you are intelligent, what will you do? You go and ask somebody. In the West, there are inquiries in different cities, or even in the roads, that information centers. So, like when you are driving, and if you do not know the direction, you go to the information center. And the information center gives you all information, including the map. Now if somebody thinks, no, why should I go to the information center? I should find out on my own. Will that be a very intelligent thing to do? Naturally not. An intelligent person will just take advantage of the information center. And naturally, the information center knows. And even if they don't know certain information, then what will they do? They have access. They'll just pick up the phone and dial the department and ask, can you please give us the direction of the such and such place? And it will be provided. So similarly, in our day-to-day life also, when we have a question, when we need to know something, we must go to somebody who knows. It is a fool only who will try to get the answer himself. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such spiritual master, who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in the disciplic succession. So what is the bona fide of a spiritual master? How do you recognize that a spiritual master is bona fide? Like, how do you recognize if somebody is qualified in some with some knowledge? We want to see the certificate. Right? From which university did you pass? Did you go to any university? Which university did you get the degree? And we know, oh, you're from Oxford. Yeah. Very good. Because we know that this is, Oxford is a bona fide, very exalted educational institution. Oh, you're from Harvard. Like that. So similarly, in spiritual subject matter also there are universities. Those universities are known as sampradaya. And there the knowledge is coming in a very, very special way. A disciplic succession. And where does this knowledge originate? This knowledge originates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna gave the knowledge to Brahma. Brahma gave it to his son Narad. Narad gave it to Vyas. Vyas gave it to Sukdev. And he also gave to Madhvacharya. And in this way there is a disciplic succession. And what should a student do? Student must receive the knowledge as it was given by the Supreme Personality of God. Without any changing, because that is the most authoritative knowledge, authoritative information. So you get the right information, you are situated in right knowledge. So the right information, what is knowledge actually? What is knowledge? Knowledge means acquiring information. If you have the information, you have the knowledge. So these informations we have to receive. Now what is the most authoritative informer? Who is the most authoritative instructor in this respect? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Bhagavad Gita, who spoke Bhagavad Gita? Krishna. Therefore, all those who are interested in spiritual life, they all read Bhagavad Gita. Everyone respects Bhagavad Gita. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the knowledge. S Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole things by evidence from the revealed scriptures. Revealed scriptures means the knowledge that has been recorded, the knowledge that has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His qualified representatives, that is recorded in a recorded form, that is the scriptures. The records of those informations are the scriptures. So such a bona fide spiritual master does not concoct anything himself. He just speaks from the authority of the scriptures. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures, in this connection, one still requires a guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and that is the direction in this verse. The bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord, and one must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received it from the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master in that bona fide chain of disciplic succession never claims to be the Lord himself. Although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience, the Lord is not to be found simply by education or by a good fertile brain. But surely he can be found by the sincere student through the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end. But because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole direction is targeted towards the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. But for want of a bona fide spiritual master in the line of Brahmaji or the direct hearer Arjuna, there are different distortions of the revealed knowledge by many unauthorized persons who just want to satisfy their own whims. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. Yet the interruptions of this great book of knowledge have so grossly been distorted that every student of Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, practically the same instructions is imparted as in the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. In Bhagavad Gita, it's clearly said, Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshi arjuna tishtati Brahmayan sarva-bhutani jantra-rurhani maya. The Lord is situated in the heart of all living beings as Paramatma, and He is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of His external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita, the Lord directs as follows, Manmana bhavo madbhakto madjaji mang namaskuro mameva shashi saptam te prati jane priyosi me. It is clear from this verse of Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back home. If we just accept this particular verse and act accordingly, man mana bhava, mad bhakta, with the mind you think of me all the time, you become my devotee, Majaji, you worship me, Mang Namaskuru, you offer obeisances to me. Then, Mam Evaisya Shiksattam Te Pratijane Priyosime. Then you will come back to me, know it as the absolute fact, absolute truth. If you do this, Krishna is giving the assurance, you will come back to me. So you want to go back to Krishna? You go back, want to go back to the spiritual sky? Who wants to go back to the spiritual sky? Then what will you have to do? Just do this. Practice this. Man mana bhavo, man bhakta. Become a devotee of Krishna. When you become a devotee of Krishna, then what happens? Then you are always thinking of Krishna. Whatever you are doing, you are thinking of Krishna. Whether you are worshipping the deity in the temple or worshipping the pots of the temple or worshipping or cutting vegetables for the devotee kitchen, for the devotees, or whether you are sweeping the street in front of the temple. Because all that you are doing for Krishna, you are always thinking of Krishna. That's the advantage of being a devotee. As a devotee, whatever you do it for Krishna. You do it, and because you are doing it for Krishna, you always remember Krishna. Directly or indirectly. So if we just do that, mad bhakta, mad jaji, worship him and mang namaskuru, surrender yourself unto him. Then, Mame Vaishyashi Sattante Pratijane Priyosi. Because he'll come back to me. Why? Because you're very dear to me. By so doing, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. Indirectly, it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as a part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. So this is a very important consideration. That's why Varnashram Dharma is so important. In Varnashram, one may not, in the four Varnas, everyone is working according to his occupation, according to his propensity, according to his ability and skill. That is the Varnashram, that's the Varnas. And then the system, the society is offering everything to Krishna. In this way, by following Varnashram, one is indirectly becomes engaged in the service of Krishna. Not that everybody, Prabhupada actually told me once in Vrindavan, at the dead of the night, around 1 o'clock or so. Prabhupada said, not that everyone will become a devotee. Krishna consciousness is for the devotees, but not that everyone will become devotees. Those who don't want to become devotees, and they have to be engaged according to their Varnashram, according to their propensity. And that's why we need to establish Varnashram. Few will become devotees, but the rest will not become devotees. So we have to make arrangements that they become engaged according to their propensity. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And when they are engaged, this is how the whole society will become spiritualized. They may not be so advanced as to become a devotee, or they may not be as detached, as withdrawn to become a devotee. But if they are at least engaged in Varnashram, Varnashram system is Brahman is giving the guidance, Kshatriyas are executing those guidance, Vaishyas are supplying to the society whatever the society needs, and Sudras are working to keep the society going. So everyone is engaged in this Varnashram society. Now, the Varnashram society, when it becomes Krishna-centered, then everybody derives the benefit. So that is why Prabhupada pointed out that establishing Varnashram is so important. The intelligent class of men, or the Brahmanas, are situated on the face of the Lord. The administrative class of men, the Kshatriyas, are situated on the arms of the Lord. The productive class of men, the Vaishyas, are situated on the belt of the Lord. And the laborer class of men, the Sudras, are situated on the legs of the Lord. Therefore, the complete social construction is the body of the Lord. And all the parts of the body, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and the Sudras, are meant to serve the Lord's whole body conjointly. Otherwise, the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the Supreme Consciousness of Oneness. Universal consciousness is factually achieved by coordinated service of all concerned to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that alone can ensure total perfection. Therefore, where lies the actual perfection? The perfection lies in being engaged in serving the Lord. So if the social structure is made in such a way that everyone is engaged in serving the Lord directly or indirectly, that society becomes perfect. Do you want to make a perfect society? Yes. Now what do you have to do? We have to reinstate Varnashram. It's a big task. It's a very big task. By becoming devotees, we can take care of our spiritual life individually. But when you consider the collective progress in spiritual path, then we have to have Varnashram. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators, the great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, etc., cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in the verse of the Bhagavatam. All these people are useless, no matter how great they are. They may be a great philosopher, they may be a great scientist, they may be a great social reformer, and so on and so forth. But what do they achieve? There had been so many big, big politicians, big, big scientists, big, big philosophers. But what did they achieve? Did they improve the world by any means? No. Mahatma Gandhi, supposed to be such a big political personality, who was considered to be such a great person, Mahatma. He is considered to be Mahatma. But when you look at it, what happened today, due to his activities, it created a big mess to this country. The country has been ruined, actually. It's because of him today the country, India, is being sold out to the Muslims. It's his party which is doing that. Congress party. Selling this country off to the Muslims just to remain in power by getting the votes. It's he who divided the country into in India and Pakistan and created an eternal enemy for India. But during his time, everyone thought, oh, Mahatma Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi. But today, after 50 years, what we are seeing? After 60 years, not even 50, 60 years, we are seeing that he destroyed this country through his activities. So similarly, there are so many people, those who have been recognized as great, great personalities. But what did they do? And why they didn't succeed? Why they, instead of helping the society, they destroyed the society, created an incredible mess in the society. Why? Because they don't know Krishna. Their understanding was, they didn't guide people to become Krishna conscious. The only solution is actually Krishna consciousness. And not only in our country, in different countries we see. Their big leaders, they thought that they were going to be the savior. For example, in France there was Napoleon. In Russia there was Stalin, Lenin. In China there was Mao Zedong. And so all these leaders, people thought that they are going to be the savior, they are going to save them. But did they ultimately save them? No. They destroyed them. Why? Because they were not promoting Krishna consciousness. They were not telling people to accept God. They were simply pushing their agenda. And the result is total chaos in this world today. Now, if we want to rectify the situation of this world, what do we have to do? We have to bring back Krishna consciousness. That's the only solution to this suffering condition of this world. Okay, I'll just read this paragraph and I'll end. Therefore, even the great scientists, the great philosophers, the great mental speculators, the great politicians, the great industrialists, the great social reformers, etc., cannot give any relief to the restless society of the material world because they do not know the secret of success as mentioned in this verse of the Bhagavatam, namely that one must know the mystery of Bhakti Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Namang duskriti na mudha prapadante naradhama mayaya purhita jnana ashurim bhavamashrita. Because the so-called great leaders of human society are ignorant of this great knowledge of the Bhakti Yoga and are always engaged in ignoble acts of sense gratification, bewildered by the external energy of the Lord. They are stubborn rebels against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they never agree to surrender unto Him because they are fools, miscreants, and the lowest type of human beings. Such faithless non-believers may be highly educated in the material sense of the term, but factually they are the greatest fools of the world because by the influence of the external material nature, all their so-called acquisition of knowledge has been made null and void. Therefore, all advancement of knowledge in the present context of things is being misused by cats and dogs fighting with one another for sense gratification. And all acquisitions of knowledge in science, philosophy, fine arts, nationalism, economic development, religion, and great activities are all being spoiled by being used as dress for human men, dresses for dead men. There is no utility in the dresses used for covering a coffin or a dead body, save getting false applause from the ignorant public. The Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says again and again that without attainment of the status of Bhakti Yoga, all the activities of human society are to be considered absolute failure only. So, this also has a very long purport. So, we will continue reading this purport tomorrow and onwards. It may take a few days actually. But it is very important that we properly go through this chapter, this verse. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So did everybody understand everything? So then you don't have a question. Okay, Sitaram.
Sri Prabhupada told you that not everyone will become devotees and therefore Varnashram is very important. Are we establishing Varnashram for those devotees who cannot follow the ultimate devotional line, i.e. creating structures within the devotional society so that everyone finds a suitable place? Or are we creating Varnashram for those on the outside of devotional life to somehow slowly move in?
Yeah. You see, that is how Varnashram will be established in a way. Like, you see, we'll find, you see, when early days in ISKCON, we thought that devotees are those who are just full-time engaged in Krishna consciousness. Actually, those days, I don't know whether I'm sure you also have seen that faith, that if you are not a full-time devotee, you are a karmi. That was our idea, right? You are either saffron-robed, and not only even the full-time devotees, even full-time devotees, if they were householders, sometimes they were thought that they were in Maya. Oh, you are a grihastha. Like, that was a phase that we used to go through. We had gone through. But then gradually with time, we are coming to a situation when we are realizing that not only that those who are in the temple full-time engaged in serving the Lord are the devotees. There are many people, those who are living outside are also devotees. Right? And now it is expanding even further. We are seeing that those who are working outside and practically engaged all the time in those activities and comes to the temple just once a week on a Sunday, but they're chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following the four regulative principles, they're also devotees, right? So in this way, the concept of devotion will expand with time. And then the leaders will have to see, you know, how to, like as we already started to consider, that when they go into a situation to pursue their career, many devotees find it very difficult to maintain their spiritual life. Because when you are alone in the middle of the world of Maya, it's very difficult to maintain Krishna consciousness. So we are considering how to actually bring them to a situation where they can rather easily pursue their career in a spiritual atmosphere, right? Like if, say for example, if 20 devotees get together and start a venture, right? That atmosphere will be Krishna conscious, right? And so on and so forth. So in this way, as Krishna consciousness movement spreads, there will be a natural development of a social structure. And that will eventually lead to Varnashram. It may take time, but it will happen. It has to happen. Because unless the society is organized, our movement is not going to spread effectively.
Another point, Maharaj, is that we sometimes behave as if ISKCON is the owner of Bhagavad Dharma. And I sometimes say that ISKCON is a franchise of the Bhagavad Dharma. Now, Srila Prabhupada made the point that in the future there will be many branches of the, I don't know whether it means offshoots of ISKCON or there will be camps and varieties of people practicing. Are we to say that it's only ISKCON who is going to be the Bhagavad Dharma, Sanatana Dharma future, or how do we interpret that?
It depends, you know, how much of a Prabhupada Anuga you are. Like if you are an absolute Prabhupada Anuga, then you will think that ISKCON is the way. Right? And yes, the thing is, when you consider the franchise consideration, The first, it is this establishment that is properly established and established its supremacy. Right? Then only the next step is to offer the franchise. What are the franchise? Those who are lining up with you, accepting the same standard and principle. Right? But the renegades do not, there is a difference between a renegades and a franchise. Those who are defecting from ISKCON, not lining up with ISKCON, and trying to do something, obviously, you know, they are not the franchise. They cannot be identified as franchise. Right? So that is one way to approach this answer, to give the answer to your question. The other consideration is that, you see, in order to effectively spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, there has to be an institution. There has to be a structure. Because without a structure, it's not going to happen. Right? And that structure means an institution. And that's why we need an institution. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so emphatic about the institution. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so emphatic about the institution. Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic about the institution. Because whether we like it or not, we need an institution. Institution means we need a structure. Like, consider Christianity. When did Christianity start to spread effectively? When Constantine came and gave the structure. The Roman Catholicism actually is the root or main cause of the propagation of Christianity in a most effective way. Prior to that, you know, they were all some scattered groups. They were just practicing. But he came and gave the structure, and then we see how it spread so effectively. So we need a structure. And that's why we need ISKCON. And that's why we have to save ISKCON. We cannot afford to let this structure fall apart. Because if this structure falls apart, then there is no hope for another structure. And it's a very good sign that, you know, about 30 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still together. Okay, any other question?
Prabhupada said everybody will not be devotee, for them need varnashram. So, varnashram not for the devotees?
Varnashram is, devotee means those who are fully committed to Krishna consciousness. In a way, devotee, you know, I'll say, what is the sign of a devotee who is chanting 16 rounds minimum every day and following the four regulative principles? Now, you may not find that everybody will accept that. There will be many people, those will not want to chant the holy name. So what to do? So at least we utilize their ability in promoting Krishna consciousness. And that is how Varnashram will be established. So Varnashram is the foundation, is the base, is the basis on which Krishna consciousness will be flourishing. And today, see what Varnashram actually does. It divides Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra according to Guna Karma. And then gradually what will happen, like from Shudra platform, one may come to the Vaishya platform, Vaishya to the Kshatriya platform, Kshatriya to Brahmana platform. Or one can directly come to Krishna consciousness. Today somebody may be working in a factory, right? But he is within the structure of Varnashram. But when he gets to know about the greatness of Krishna consciousness movement, then he can jump into Krishna consciousness. Today one may not be chanting the holy name, but working for, let's look at our situation here. There are people working for us in various areas, right? And tomorrow, they may, by coming in contact with the devotees, may recognize the importance of chanting the holy name. Today he may be working as a sudra in one of our establishments. But tomorrow he may understand the importance of Krishna consciousness and decide to chant the holy name 16 rounds a day and follow the four religious principles. Then what happens? He becomes a devotee. So this is how from Varnashram platform we are actually creating the opportunity to come to devotional platform. Yeah, because there are two types of Varnashrams. Daivi Varnashram and Ashuri Varnashram. Divine Varnashram and demoniac Varnashram. When Varnashram is just for the sake of Varnashram, rejecting Krishna, this Ashuri, demoniac. But when Varnashram is with Krishna in the center, then it is Daivi Varnashram. This is my propensity. I like to run a business. This is my propensity. So I'm running a business. But why I'm running the business? To serve Krishna. That's Daivi Varnashram. But a devotee, the difference between the Varnashram situation and a devotee, Varnashram situation is according to guna karma, according to his propensity and the influence of the modes. But a devotee is prepared to do anything. If you want me to worship in the temple, I will do it. If you want me to fight a battle, I'll do that. If you want me to run a business, I'll do that. Or if you want me to sweep the streets, I'll do that. So that is a devotee. Whatever is needed for serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna, I am prepared to do that. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.